Welcome, everyone. I would like to call to order the April 6th, 2023 meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. And would the clerk kindly call the roll, please?
Chair Manna Jo Green?
Present.
Deputy Chair Gina Hansett?
Here.
Legislator Aaron Levine?
Present.
Legislator Jim Maloney. Legislator Eric Stewart.
Present.
And Chair Tracy Bartels.
Here.
Okay, and with that, I'd like to ask that we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I would like to request a motion to approve the minutes of March 2nd regular meeting of this committee.
Motion.
Okay. And all in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
So, you want to email it or whatever you want?
Motion carries. And then we will go through the department report and then get right to the resolution. So with that, Department of Environment, few topics, and yes, if you would, I believe the mic is on.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to meet you in the legislative chambers today. I'm Europa McGovern, Deputy Director of the Department of the Environment. I'm standing in for my colleague, our Director, Nick Fosda. Mm-hmm. First item, New Shokan Reservoir water releases, lower surface turbidity. I've not been briefed on any updates since the last committee meeting, but I'm happy to field any questions that the committee may have. That, I'll go on to the Reuse Innovation Center planning study. That is a capital project. That project is well underway. Many committee members and agency representatives here have engaged with our lead consultant, Sustainable Hudson Valley, on that project. And we expect the next public workshop to be scheduled sometime later this month or in early May. So keep an eye out for an update from us on that. Any questions?
I would just like to request you say a little bit more about what that is, because of the nature of today's meeting. I think it's important for people to understand what the county and the agency are doing in terms of promoting waste diversion and sound solid waste practices.
Absolutely. Apologies for rushing through. So just a brief overview, the Reuse Innovation Center planning study. Again, like I said, that was a capital project, and that project was funded and approved by the legislature late last year. Basically, the goal of that project is to, it's basically a planning study to identify a conceptual plan and some priority programs and activities that can be implemented at a single facility that we're calling a Reuse Innovation Center. It's seen as one solution. Of course, many solutions that are needed to reduce the amounts of solid waste in the county that are currently being sent to the Seneca Meadows landfill. That includes, the municipal solid waste, almost 100% of which is going through the two upper facilities, right, and then transferred to Seneca Meadows, and then there's a significant amount of construction and demolition of debris that's also being landfilled. I don't even think we have the numbers exactly on how much that is. So the consultants we're working with are basically starting with a high-level overview, and this is kind of what they're immersed in right now. But they're looking at the characterizing the overall waste stream and saying, well, what are the materials in that municipal solid waste? and the construction and demolition waste streams that could potentially be diverted from being landfilled via the programs and activities at this Reuse Innovation Center. So we hope that our consultants, you know, we have there's some experts in that field, and we hope they'll have some good proposals for us and continue to tackle the needs of stakeholders. So like I said, the next public workshop, they're going to have some early reports and kind of presentations and other associated project deliverables up on our website soon. You can link to that from our Department of Environment webpage. We actually have a webpage that links to their website that gives you more information on the project. And I'm happy to give anyone direct links as well. Any other questions on that? All right, great. Well, thank you. Okay, so the next item is the Hudson 7 update. That's the Hudson 7 Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council. My understanding is Resolution 149 will be up for appointing Amanda LaValle, the Deputy County Executive, as the Ulster County representative on the council. That's been in the works for several months, and you know, generally there is a county representative that attends these meetings to stay apprised of their work. Questions on that? All right. And then the last item from the Department of the Environment is an update on the BARD Student Climate Project. I'll also provide a very brief overview here. This is part of a larger community climate action plan.
And Roka, I did have one.
Yes.
Excuse me, I did have one question for you.
If we go there, it goes. So does the county now have a vote, or when will that vote, when will we start having that vote? I don't know if that should be directed to you or to the chair or...
For the Hudson 7?
Yes.
I think that's what the resolution is for, from understanding it correctly.
That is, so, okay.
Oh, to have a vote on
yes,
the council.
Yes, to have a vote, to be a voting member. So is that...
Do you want to take that?
I mean, I'll say that I don't have the answer to that question. I know that it was going to the existing board members for approval,
right.
Both the expansion of the board, but the approval to make both new members, the County of Ulster and County of Dutchess voting members.
Right.
I think we have every expectation that it has or will pass, but I'll get back to you with that information prior to.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point. I think it for granted that
I just assumed that was the case, but I wasn't sure if that was, that it's done at this point or not. So.
It's definitely a worthy question.
But the answer, I think, being the second part of the answer to that question, Legislator Stewart, would be that the second part is for the Hudson 7, right, all the existing 7 members to authorize the amendment to their foundational MOU, right, that formed the council. So then basically my understanding is the two counties, right, Dutchess and Ulster, are, adopting a resolution to become members, and then subsequently the original 7 members resolve to authorize that and authorize the counties to be members. So it may still be a couple of months
my instinct is that they would have already seen it, because we amended the MOU that was going to them in order for them to approve in advance of the new members being seated. So that may be what took a few months
yes.
getting all that approval. So hopefully that's already in place, but maybe we could just get firmly the answer.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Will do. All right, so then back to the BARD Student Climate Project. So like I was saying, that's part of a bigger community climate action project. That's a project that we're embarking on, facilitated by Department of the Environment this year. We received a Climate Smart Communities Program grant that'll fund that in part. And basically we had an RFP, request for proposals recently, which just closed to select a consultant to embark on a lot of the stakeholder engagement and developing the narrative of the plan. We're also working with Akeley Local Governments for Sustainability, who will be doing one of the foundational components of it, completing their community greenhouse gas emissions inventory using their ClearCut software. They'll help us develop a narrative report from that report, we engage with consultants and engage with stakeholders countywide to, you know, we have the greenhouse gas emissions countywide established, right? And then part of this whole process will be to identify priority initiatives across various sectors to actually achieve us, the county and the state greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals. And that's where the BART student project comes in. We're very excited to be working for, I think this is the third year we're working with a BARD Center for Climate Policy graduate student class. The class is called The Politics of Solutions, well named, and we're working with a student group of eight. We've broken them into two groups, and they're each engaging through a facilitated process with two very key sets of stakeholders, one being the legislature and one being the county exec and representatives from the exec's office. So they have their kickoff meetings. I know some legislatures here were engaged in one of those meetings, and they're looking to schedule their next meeting. So I was given the task today of trying to help us nail down a date for the next meeting with the students. So I have three potential dates. You don't have to give me an answer now, but it would be great if I could go back to my colleagues with one potentially. So these are, I'm just going to list the dates, and I don't know if we want to just have a brief conversation or connect via email afterwards.
I think I'd like to ask the clerk to
share.
Give us the dates, and we'll look at it. And either that or people could get back to you directly.
Okay. I think what I'll do is I'll have I list the dates, and then I can email Chelsea, and we'll coordinate from there.
Okay.
Great.
Just, we have a lot on the agenda tonight, so, and right now my head is not in calendar mode.
Absolutely, quite understood. Okay, so just the three potential dates are Monday, the 24th of this month, from 11 to 1 p.m., Tuesday the 25th, from 4 to 6 p.m., or Thursday the 27th, from 4 to 6 p.m., and it would be a similar format to the first meeting, where this time they're doing some more background research, and then they'll be kind of distilling the information they garnered from the first meeting with legislators, and again, starting to identify some priorities of the legislature for this project. And that is all from me, unless anyone has any questions or comments.
I just want to clarify that one of the reasons we're not actively discussing redeclaring a climate emergency this evening is that the BARD students, as they're doing this project, are going to be looking for things. The example I like to give is that the Climate Act. One of the goals of the Climate Act is to generate 70% of our energy using renewable energy by 2030. And that's a statewide goal. And one of my recommendations is that that become a county, that we help the state to achieve that by achieving it within Ulster County. And once you have a goal like that, then you put in place the implementation thing, but this was created as policy for the county. That's just an example. I think we had a whole list, and Chelsea kindly sent all the information we had gathered to the BARD students.
Thank you.
Just had a quick question going back to the water releases. So we committed our comments, but and we basically said we don't want any part. They gave us that weird option of controlling the releases. I didn't agree and just throw away that leverage and say we don't want it. That's what we did. Has there been any contact with the DEC about, because it's been 4 months again, this is how it goes in these cycles. Everyone forgets about it, stops complaining, and then all of a sudden the releases start again as the West Basin fills up and they have to release. Has there been any back and forth about anything? Have they told us their plans now that the release option, you know, control stays with them?
So the most recent briefing I got from my colleague on this, and I'll just answer the disclaimer that I'm not the resident expert on this, right? But my understanding is there is no current update. Basically, DEP is coordinating with DEC to you know, scope out the supplemental environmental impact statement, right? That's what our comments were on. So basically, there's been no news. I know that there's other colleagues and stakeholders that are part of the working group, and maybe a bit more press, but there's no updates. There's nothing new on the website, no new public information at this time.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'll stay here to answer questions throughout the meeting if needed.
And at this point, I would like to ask Greg Olivier to please give a report for the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Good evening, everybody. Greg Olivier from UCRA. And I was just looking to try to remember what I was exactly going to talk about, so I apologize. So our landfill siting update, we did close the RFP. We received two responses to the RFP. Those are being vetted currently. Hopefully we'll have those completely sorted out here over the next week or so, and we'll have some news on the direction that we'll go. Basically, we're just trying to figure out who the best person to use for this project is to make sure that we end up with the best results possible. So the waste diversion C&D recycling, we're working with supervisors and the transfer stations around the county to try to find ways that we can help them be more efficient and accept more material. We are talking to them about everything from e-waste to paint to light bulbs to you name it, pretty much, if it's something that we can help them with. And any way that we can get any of that material diverted as well. So looking to throw some resources their way to help them out, support them. Currently checking on the feasibility for putting roll-off compactors out at the sites to make things a little bit more efficient, cut down on the amount of trips our trucks are making and the amount of emissions we're putting out running trash around the county. So, yes, ma'am.
John, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of questions, maybe a comment, but I don't have to do it all at once. With regards to the RFP, we only had two responders. What kind of stuff did we put in the RFP? I haven't seen it, but it seems to me that the supervisors and the town boards at some point are going to have to be involved. I mean, what? Give me an overview of what we put in.
The RFP was.
So we don't just. I mean, I think it needs to be. I'd almost like them to go to every single town, find a piece of property in every single town. I mean, so we can come back and not. You know, a big wide ranging, and then at that point we can go to the towns and find a town that's willing, hopefully, once we start talking about the advantages that they get tax-wise and whatnot, our host community.
So basically the way that we are structuring this is for them to look at every area of the county, so there's not going to be any stone left unturned.
But Platicville will be first on the list, right?
Absolutely, I mean, you know. By the way, that's like my backyard, so but yeah, the way we structured this was we're asking them to look at not only whether or not a landfill could be placed in Ulster County, which encompasses a lot more than just location. Okay, there's a lot more than just if you have some land that you can put a landfill on that has to be answered here. So we asked for a complete feasibility study for placing a landfill. So that's every aspect of what it takes to put a landfill in this county, including locations and the search and things. The other thing we asked for was for them to look at the alternative of maybe reclaiming some of the old closed landfills that aren't lined and aren't equipped with all the latest technology that isolates them from the surrounding environment and makes them, you know, more environmentally friendly. I guess is the best way for me to put it.
That would be like cleaning out, renovating them.
That would be like
not going to then place a landfill or just to clean
no,
it
that
out.
Would be to go
because
in.
There's environmental concerns.
What you do is you go in and you open them up. very methodically. You take out anything that probably shouldn't have been put in the first place that could be diverted. That allows you to gain some airspace, and then you put some of your current waste in there, and that's how you go about kind of creating landfill airspace for yourself without actually creating a brand new landfill. So we've asked them to look at those options as well. And then we ask them to look at, do a comparison between those options and what we're currently doing as far as, you know, compare the environmental impacts of what we're currently doing, sending over 100,000 tons of material 200 miles away with all these trucks versus if we had a landfill sitting in the county. Because I think it's important for people to understand, you know, when you hear landfill, everybody immediately goes, oh no, landfill. You know, it's horrible. Well, you know, I understand that, but at the same time, all the trucks I'm sending down the road 200 miles away are doing a lot of negative impacts to our environment as well, right? So I think we need to know the answers to these questions and stuff. So we've asked them to look at it, give us the facts, and then we can make, you know, informed decisions.
One last thing. I'm going to tell you my impression of something that's going on, and tell me where I'm right and where I'm wrong. Over the last month or two, the town of Platteville has become very concerned because of the study. What I understand happened, tell me if this is your version, talking to different people, including your lawyer and other people involved. There was a study done a while back that about spotting landfill. It came back three locations, Gardner and two in Platteville. From what I'm being told by the RRA is, they didn't like the study. They didn't think it was very good. They didn't necessarily even like the locations that were in the study, and it kind of just went and collected dust. A reporter comes along and asks for it. The RRA initially says, no, I think partly, according to you guys, because you saw no value in it, and you didn't want that to be something to be made out of it that wasn't. The reporter goes and runs an article. The community gets worried, but really, there's not a lot behind, there's no working, no one over at the RA right now has, Platteville is nowhere on a list. That study had no value in that study. It wasn't something that you thought was necessarily feasible looking at it, and it's turned into now this story where people are very concerned over there that we are narrowing in, that is one of our locations we're really looking at. Is that accurate?
Generally, that's accurate.
What is not accurate about it?
So the way the story was told to me and has been recounted to me is that the study was done kind of in response to the concern that we need to have a landfill in order to stop hauling all this stuff so far away, as well as it's part of the solid waste management plan that was put in there, and then once it's put in there, you kind of got to do it, right? So that was the response, and they were trying to, because there was some concern over being able to find suitable, and by suitable I mean meets the expectations or the requirements of DEC, property for siting a landfill. It was thought that maybe doing this type of a limited study might, you know, enlighten us to the fact that maybe there wasn't even a suitable area. Or if there was, how many were out there. Basically, at some point in time, the study came back, and I don't know exactly what conversations might have taken place, because obviously I wasn't around, but no official decision was made to use it for anything, and it was left basically sitting as a draft. And it was never actually formally accepted by the board at UCRA, so therefore it was never an official document within UCRA. Therefore, it didn't make it, it was not subject to FOIL.
Yes.
And it was never put out to the public because they didn't want to get the good folks in Platteville all upset and thinking that they planned on putting a landfill there when they literally, I don't even think they all read it. And when I came in, I was told, we did it, we're not using it, so don't worry about it. I never even opened and looked at it until after the reporter put it out there, and then it became an issue. Because I figured, why waste my time if we're using it? We're going to get another study done that was more comprehensive. So you're correct There is no landfill plan. There's no decision made. If we, even if UCRA made a decision that we needed a landfill, it would be in front of the legislators before anything ever happened. DEC has to give you a permit. There is a huge process that would take place. The last one in the state that I am told was cited was the Barnida Herkimer. I probably didn't pronounce that was the last one. It took them 12 years and $12 million just to get their permit for it from DEC. So, and that came with many, many public hearings and opportunities for the public to speak out and a lot of negotiation on, you know, how to help reimburse the communities for housing and the landfill and stuff. So my understanding is that those people live tax-free right now, so they like that. But yeah, so you're correct in the fact that there is nothing. It was just a study that literally was never intended to see the light of day, and the reporter heard about it.
And before, when you first got here, you were told by
board members,
we see no value in that study.
I was just told it exists, but you don't even have to worry about it. We're not using it for anything. So that's
what I've been told.
Yeah,
I'm a skeptic, but I.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I'm kind of lazy, and if I don't think I'm going to use it, I'm not going to read it. I mean, geez, it's not like exciting reading for me, so I just left it alone and went on with the things I needed to do.
Chair Bartel. Thank
you. So, just to follow on Legislator Maloney's first question, as to the scope, is there any way that you would be willing to share the RFP itself, just so we could see what the scope
is? It's been shared. And if you ask for it, yeah, we'll give you a copy of the RFP. Yeah. So this RFP, just to clarify too, the way I did this RFP, I basically asked them, told them, this is what we're going to want you to look at. Right now, what I want you to tell me is what it would cost me and how long it would take you to do it. So that's basically the response that we got back. They said it was kind of like that giant overview of here's the things that we feel we'll have to do. They need to get into the really specific detailed deliverables, and they said this is what we think we can do it for. So what I'm doing and the board is doing is we're kind of going through it and we're going, okay, you know, are they on the right track? Does this sound? Then what we'll do is we'll go and I'll interview them and I'll kind of clarify some things with them, and then one of them will be invited to give us a more detailed breakdown of the deliverables, and we'll start working with them.
Okay. I mean, I guess, so, and you say it's been shared, where, you mean it's on the website or something?
It was. I don't know.
Okay.
Quite possibly may not be sitting up there right now for you to grab, but if it's not, we can set it down and get you a person. I did put it out. As a matter of fact, I think I shared it on their Facebook site and stuff so that all the residents could see it.
Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank you. One of the things, and so I'm speaking without seeing the RFP, but one of the things that I hope that we're mindful of in terms of an RFP or request or actually doing a bona fide landfill study, is the scope of the siting study. I mean, we're a county the size of Rhode Island, so we're massive. And again, now I'm perfect time to talk about this, although I expected to talk about it later in public comment. When I sat on the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, which had members from the Supervisors Association, had legislative members, had haulers, the DEC was present at most of our meetings and engaged. You know, we undertook an exercise where we used the county GIS system. We looked for single owner parcels of a certain size, and then we removed parcels based on limiting factors, based on things that would preclude us from setting landfills. For example, if the single owner was the city of New York, that came off the list, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We started with a really big group of properties, and we got it down to, I frankly don't even remember, it's probably 25 properties. The problem is that we were doing it just as an exercise. That's not a bona fide way to go about looking for a landfill property because it doesn't get into the geology of the property. It doesn't even factor in whether the property is for sale. It's very limited because you're looking for large parcel owners versus maybe contiguous properties that might work. So it was meant to be an internal discussion that actually got at how hard it would be for the tip of the iceberg of how hard it is to actually identify appropriate sites in terms of geology. And that's before engaging communities, something that we all know that a successful landfill siting is going to necessitate community engagement. This county, before I was here, failed miserably. The RRA, for any, you know, for anyone who doesn't know the history, the RRA was created to site a landfill, and it failed working a parallel path to Oneida Herkimer, which, as you state, was no small feat. It wasn't like it was easy for them. It was politically very difficult. It was functionally very difficult. It was financially very difficult. But they succeeded, and Ulster County and the RRA gave up. So these are complex issues. That list that we whittled it down to actually was leaked to the press by a member of the then RRA board who was very excited about the siting of a landfill, but these weren't viable landfill sites. These were just single property owners that met a certain size and weren't eliminated by virtue of very obvious eliminations. There could have been a million reasons to eliminate each and every of those properties that we wouldn't know based on looking at a GIS map. And a similar reaction happened as is happening now. People were calling us who owned the property, saying, what do you mean you're going to put a landfill on our property? Like, this is my home. I've lived here for 75 years. I mean, I'm saying all this to both place it in history and also to state that I think that what's going to be really important is the scope of that study, is really getting into the nitty-gritty details of how we go about determining viable properties, ideally taking into account what Legislator Maloney said, looking for diverse options of available properties, and then really getting into the next step of having the conversations with the community, starting with their representatives at the table, getting the boards of supervisors to the table to understand and to acknowledge that we have a looming issue here that's not newly looming. It's long looming. You know, we have limited statewide capacity that's available capacity. Much of it, like Oneida Herkimer, has capacity, but we can't dispose of our waste there. We have limited capacity, and we have limited time to deal with it. And that closing window, the state of Connecticut is fully exporting all of its waste. Southern New York is fully exporting all of its waste, which has a massive amount of people in it. In the long ago history, when Pennsylvania closed its borders and the barges were stopped, New York City had garbage piling up 10, 15 feet high. You can look up in the archives in the New York Times. It was not pretty. It wasn't. And I mean, I think that this is a situation where if we don't work together to come to a solution, we're going to be facing a financial crisis and a physical crisis in terms of where we take this waste, because we're all still making waste, even though we're doing everything we can to try to divert and to try to stop. So I don't know. I hope that the RFP contains some of the complexity, but I also hope that the community at large understands that there's no world where we're going to be discussing this without everyone at the table, because it's a necessity.
So, if I may, the RFP, the RFP did not get into those specifics, okay? It was very much a general, this is what we want you to look at. As I said, we're vetting what we got back, kind of looking at their merits to do the job, perform the job, and kind of how they responded. And I did it very strategically. I wanted them to kind of tell me what they needed to do in order to do this. Not me having to tell them, because I wanted to make sure we got people who knew what they were doing and were going to do the job for us right. And so as we go back, once we kind of go, okay, here's who we want to work with, then that's when we're going to get into all those details that you just talked about, like, okay, the deliverables are this, and you have to do all these things. We need to make sure that this is done to the best that it could possibly be done without question. Because when we get those results, I promise these folks that all that will be public, that I'm not going to, we're not going to keep things, you know, off the record. And I don't want to have to look at you or Mena or any of my neighbors and go, well, I don't know, because I want the answer to be there and I want everybody to be able to know the answer. So it is my desire to make sure that we get all those things answered. Okay.
Is this
yes, sir.
So, kind of following up on what Chair Bartels mentioned, this process takes 6 years, 10 years, 12 years, however long the process it takes of siting an actual landfill. Whether it's in Ulster County, or we've also discussed perhaps doing it in a neighboring county. If that process takes so long, and Seneca Meadows initially was slated to close in 2025, I understand that's been pushed back, but if we're not really do we have a for sure a closing date for Seneca Meadows?
We don't. And just to clarify, so for anybody that doesn't know, you talked about Seneca Meadows being scheduled to close. That from what I've been told, it wasn't a situation where DEC was going to force them to close or anything like that. It had to do with some local politics and a few of their local politicians who had decided they didn't want the landfill around any longer. And those politicians are no longer in office. And evidently now the political climate is friendly to the landfill staying there. So
okay.
That's kind of changed. So now the concern is not as great. They still are extending and renewing their permit. And that's not a guaranteed thing. I mean, something could go wrong there. So
yeah.
We don't know.
So I guess my concern is, I was wondering if as a county, we have kind of like a short-term plan and a long-term plan. I mean, if something were to happen, I mean, we all know that political climates change rapidly sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're in a situation where we can't cycle landfill in Ulster County for a decade or more, and the political climate changes in Seneca Meadows, I mean, what are we going to do? It just seems like we need to have kind of a short-term plan and a long-term plan for eventually siting a site somewhere.
So. I have been approached already by one company with a landfill who has said, hey, if you want someplace else to go besides Seneca Meadows, we'd be interested in your material coming to us. And you're talking about the same, pretty much same distance, same...
That was going to be my next question. That's also like a 200-mile drive.
So, you're not going to... I haven't been able to find anything any closer yet, okay? Other than Dutchess County, in a very non-official conversation I had with them, that they would, if allowed by DEC, they would be willing to consider maybe expanding their capacity at their incinerator and taking our waste if we needed to take it there or something. But that was just a very passive kind of, you know,
right.
If we knew we had the material coming, we would maybe pursue that. And I know that most people I've spoke to in this county are very adverse to doing that, so I haven't pursued anything there.
And not to put you personally on the spot, I'm just curious if you have a rough idea about how much the county spends to ship all that waste every year.
It's $3 million, somewhere in there.
And that is in fuel costs, or is that
total.
In
that's kind of the total,
that's kind of
contractual, so that's
a dream.
Okay. And that's gonna give or take depending on tonnage and stuff. So
are you thinking realized that we've been sort of making your thank you making your agenda for you by bringing topics that were previously discussed. I have one other topic to ask about, but I also, if there's anything that you want to report that's not on here, you're welcome to do that.
Well, if I could, just because we were talking about the whole landfill siting issue, and I think obviously one of the answers that that we come up with is how do we substantially reduce what we're sending to the landfill as well, and can we do that faster than we can develop a landfill? And the answer to the question is most likely yes. So we did put out a request for statement of interest as well. And I want to make sure I mention that anytime I'm talking about siting a landfill. And the statement of interest basically invited people to let us know if they had some way of treating our MSW that would help us recover more material from it and prevent us from putting it into the landfill. So that closed on Monday, and we did receive several responses to it, and I have not got to read through them all yet because they're kind of long, but I have read through a couple of them. I glanced at all of them, and they all look pretty promising. So I think that there's going to be some good options for us to look at in the very near future where we can actually, and of course, you know, this starts out with me and the board over there at IPRA, but it'll bleed into your legislature and your members and stuff to get to see and have input as well. But we definitely are looking for options that will help us significantly reduce the amount that we're sending to landfill. And I think that is actually probably more critical than trying to figure out which landfill we're going to send it to, but how are we going to reduce the amount that we need to send to landfill to begin with. And in a really big way, substantial way.
When is the statement of interest due back?
It was Monday. So the deadline was Monday at 3 o'clock, so we got in our responses, and now it's just a matter of kind of going, okay, what looks realistic and like it would be something that we could bring forward to you and others in the community and actually have it be something that could be considered and accepted, because some of these solutions might not, we might look at them and go, nobody's going to want that. And so we need to just kind of go through and make sure that we only bring forward what makes sense.
With regards to diversion, is there some high-tech sorting machinery out there that the RRA would benefit from that we don't have? Whether or not money's an option, you know, part of the, you know, process or whatever, I don't care. You know, I just want to know, is there sorting machinery out there that we don't have that would benefit us?
Absolutely. Yes, there are. There's machinery and technology out there that would greatly benefit Webster County. It's just a matter of figuring out which is the best fit for us and accomplishes those goals we want, you know.
Can you put together a kind of a presentation in the next month or two for the kind of machinery you're talking about, whether you get specific down to, I think this one is the best, but give us a presentation on that kind of machinery and have a cost analysis along with it?
I would ask maybe if you let us go through this process with the statements of interest, because that's going to lead us there. So that's going to, because part of this process is, I'll give you an example, okay? And so I know one of the entities that responded to this, their system, they have a system that is really good at getting organic out of MSW, mixed waste. So they do a good job of that. And
would that go right into the compost pile?
It could go right into the compost pile. However, probably a higher and better use for it even would be to put it through a digester and create either renewable fuel with it or power with it. So, and kind of do the whole circular thing there. So they do a very good job. They have a system that does that. And then what I indicated in the request for the statement of interest was that we're looking for either somebody to help us come up with a complete solution, or we want to cobble together several solutions, and in that would be kind of where you're talking about the equipment and stuff. Maybe to give you an idea of what I'm talking about is maybe like a dirty Murph at the front of something like that, where you actually use some of the newer technology and equipment to sort stuff that you can, the stuff that you can divert out of the solid waste stream that's not been diverted already from the source, get it out there before you send it through this process to extract the organic material and stuff. So I kind of want to let this process play through, because obviously the price tag, it could be one price to get everything in the end. So that's the reason why I would say it. But I definitely want to bring that to you once we kind of have an idea of which direction we think is best to go.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's some. Thank you. At some point, we probably should have a focused workshop, because it's hard to fit all that information into a regularly scheduled meeting. But let's see what the responses are. And I think the more we work together and listen to each other, that's how we're going to get to the best possible solution. At this point, are you complete for now, or do you have
I'm fine if you have something else you want to ask about.
That was it. The statement of interest.
Okay, yeah, I had it as part of the other stuff you asked about. So.
All right. And I think everybody knows by now I come for maximum waste diversion and a fairly sited landfill. Because I believe that if you divert as much waste as possible, including the organic material that can be composted and with sheetrock tends to cause odors, and you divert quantity of material, then you have less trucks and less of the onerous problems. And wherever a landfill is fairly and environmentally soundly sited, and then with a fair and I would say generous host community benefit package, I think we can solve the problem and create a model. But we'll go through the process, and but again, I think we probably need a special workshop at some point. But for now, I want to thank you. Go ahead.
I apologize. I do apologize. I thought I was done, but I should mention this because of the questions that were asked as well. I know Sharon and I have had a conversation in the past about this. So Gus was the thing at one point in time here at Green Ulster, Sullivan County. And so I have not engaged with everybody, but I have been engaged with some of those individuals from those other counties, and there is some interest in something like that still possibly. So just so you're aware, that's also another kind of track that I'm following. It doesn't everything moves at the speed of a snail, but we're trying to follow all the leads we can and all the opportunities and possibilities. And so anyhow, Sullivan right now actually has somebody that they're looking to work out a pilot program with. And if their pilot program proves out, it's going to be a regional type situation where they're going to want waste to come from someplace else. So that might be an option for us.
That's basically just team it up to get a larger quantity at a lower guaranteed price to get rid of it. So, I mean, that's a...
Yeah. Some of these technologies...
Not really solutions.
Well, it allows us to get our waste to someplace closer and not go 200-something miles away, and gives us a long-term agreement for guaranteed outlet with somebody where we don't have that concern of some potential losing a site for our waste to go to in the near future. So that's the benefits of something like that, so if it happens.
Thank you. All right, with that, is there anyone here from the Environmental Management Council?
Hi.
Please.
Lindsay. I'm a new member of the Environmental Management Council. I live in Kingston. I'm on the CAC for Kingston, and I work at the Kingston Land Trust. We actually have some notes. The majority of this month's meeting was really taken up by a presentation. Adam Bosch from Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress came and talked about their new report that just came out on EV charging stations. It's available on their website. It's really interesting. It's really outlining the infrastructure needs for our region for EV charging stations to be aligned with the climate goals around EVs. So there's a lot that needs to be done. And I really recommend checking out the report if you haven't already. They also talk about the utility needs, funding opportunities, and also they have a model zoning ordinance for multifamily dwellings that can be implemented. And that was supposed to be, a timed presentation, but we all had lots of questions and it took up most of the meeting, so we didn't really have a lot of new business or old business beyond the kind of just round of updates that we do. And the minutes didn't come out yet, so I didn't take notes, but there are a lot of exciting, fun Earth Day events happening. I know the town of Osotis is having one and a few other municipalities. But yeah, the bulk of the meeting was really about EV charging, so I don't have much more to update you on.
Thank you. And with that, I'd like to move on to the resolutions for April. And I'm going to take them out of order so that people can leave, or you're welcome to stay, but there are two resolutions that I'd like to move to the front. And those are resolutions 200 and 201. And for resolution 200, we would like to take public comment and then discuss it amongst ourselves, and you'll hear our deliberations. With that, I would like a motion for discussion of resolution number 201, opposing a countywide landfill for the... Resolution 200, opposing a countywide landfill for the town of Plattekin. Do I hear a motion? And with that, we will take public comment. I think we'd like to ask that three people represent the community and that you keep it to 2 or 3 minutes. I think I'll start with Councilor.
I'd like to respectfully yield to anybody who'd like to speak before.
Okay, it's up. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Carol Mapp. I'm Posey. I'm a Clintondale resident and environmental consultant, specializing in wetlands and wildlife. I understand that the vigorous secret process that any siting will have to go through, so I won't even go into that. But with regard to the apparently defunct HydroQuest report, there are a couple of considerations that were severely lacking. And I have some maps here if anybody would like, but I could talk to them. Significant natural communities, according to an ISAC environmental resource map, are the first resource anyone uses for an environmental review. Both of the sites, Lycoxen, emits 4 separate identified significant natural communities, and those are defined by NISAC as locations of rare, high-quality habitats, ecosystems, or ecological areas. And NISAC, natural heritage documents the location of these natural communities where the community type is rare in New York State, where the community in that location is a high quality example and meets specific criteria as far as size, undisturbed, intact conditions, and quality. The 9-6 ERM specifically identifies four areas in Platico which neighbor the potential landfill sites, considered high quality occurrences of uncommon type. Near the Cannon Sunset Road site, they include a high quality maple redwood swamp about 3/4 mile west, and Hemlock Ridge, which is a 9-stack multiple use area, which is situated approximately a mile east. Located about 1 mile northeast of the Hertel site, is the southern extent of Illinois Mountain, an area which contains an uncommon high-quality beech maple mesochorus. In fact, there are attempts by the town of Lloyd and other organizations to make this area, Illinois Mountain, designated as a critical environmental area by NYSEC. Northeast of the Hertel site also lies the Pine Hole Pond. Most of you have probably heard of that. It's a locally rare dwarf bog shrub, shrub bog that contains several endangered species. Furthermore, this Hertel site lies in close proximity to locations of bog turtle, including perhaps bog turtle on the site itself, and they both contain significant habitat for Indiana and long-eared bat, both protected federally. With regard to aquatic resources, both sites contain an abundance of wetlands and watercourses, which are also protected by state and federal regulations. Significant portions of the Hertel site are protected aquatic resources. There are, in fact, four state-protected 9-stack wetlands, as well as additional federal wetlands which are protected under the Clean Water Act. The wetlands on the north end are expansive enough to comprise the headwaters of the Pancake Hollow Brook. Pancake Hollow Brook is a 9-stack protected Class B-T stream, Class B being sufficient quality to support swimming, contact-rich creation, but not drinking water, although just up the road in Pancake Hollow, it does convert to Class A, and T meaning that it may support trout populations. The coordinates provided additional protection. The protected aquatic resources that I just mentioned, both the streams and their associated wetlands, flank the potential landfill site that's been discussed. The southern portion, which does not appear to have any state wetlands, which appears as the leg that attaches to provide access from the southern area to the landfill. It does not contain state protected wetlands because those are generally 12.4 acres or larger, but it does contain federal wetlands. And connectivity to the stream is also quite likely. The Sunset Lake site, the Sunset Road site, also contains significant wetlands, specifically running south to north along the entire length of the site is protected wetland, state wetland, and Sunset Lake sits near the site's northwestern corner. Both of these resources are headwaters of Black Creek, also a protected Class B stream. Additional state protected wetlands are situated in close proximity to the east, west, and south of the site, and protected, federally protected wetlands and isolated wetlands are also present on the site, some of which are likely connected directly or indirectly to the Quassaic Creek, which is located about 1/2 mile from the site. I have not inspected all of these sites and ground truthed them, but I have seen quite a number of them and can verify that their existence that they are present, and I would hope not to have to delineate these in opposition to any of this. So basically those are two factors that were not considered in the report and are highly significant. And totally unrelated to the natural environment, I would just like to comment on the impact of traffic. If anybody's familiar with Route 4455 in the vicinity of Hertel landfill, already knows that there are significant site distance issues with regard to several feeder roads, both east and west, within a mile of the site. So this is like Hull Avenue, Bedell Avenue, Farrow Lane, Cliff Avenue, Morris Heights. Also located in this area are the Clintondale Post Office and the Clintondale Firehouse. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but people truly put their life in the hands of God when they try to come out of one of these locations. To the west, also within very close proximity, are Jenkins Lane, Tucker's Corners, both highly trafficked, accident-prone areas, and Pancake Hollow, which happens to be one of the heaviest trafficked roads in the area because of the location of high school. So I would hope all of this gives, and this is just a briefing of just readily available resources that truly show that this is not a suitable site. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
would like to request that you send us a copy of your comment.
Sure.
This is not a public hearing. It's just comment on a resolution before us. But your comments are really valuable, and I'd like to have a copy, and I think others might as well.
Okay, thank you.
And I really would like to keep the presentation to 2 to 3 minutes if possible.
We only have two speakers, so...
Okay, so... Very good. And our next speaker?
I believe we only have two.
Okay.
Thank you.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity to come here and speak to you folks tonight. I am here to encourage this committee to actually approve and forward this to the legislature to vote and hopefully unanimously pass this. My request is the same as when I spoke several weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. I am asking to have specifically those two parcels that are located in the town of Plattekill, being the Camp Sunset property as well as the Hertel landfill. Both of those sites are very valuable to our resources. They're also they're very important to the well-being of the community. When I came up here, I was going to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak for 3 hours, and I wasn't going to try to be humorous. I was going to try to make a point and simply say that I couldn't even touch or scratch the surface in 2 to 3 minutes, and I respect your request. I really do. I will tell you that I have several documents that I'd like to turn over to the chair. One is there was a Chapter 110 zoning law. It's 110-53, and it speaks on the aquifer protection zone in Plattekill that was established directly affiliated with the Hertel landfill back in the day when that was closing. I will tell you this, that there is a lot of residents in that area that are 3, 4, 5, and 6 generation residents. A lot of those residents in that area, as well as other areas in the town that waterway goes through, firmly believe and truly believe that that landfill has gave them adversely bad effects by being around that environment. I will tell you the two water bodies, as just discussed, is the Black Creek, which is actually a watershed area, and it also is a tributary to the Hudson River. The Quassaic Creek is also a very highly protected and valued body of water, which actually flows in its beginning aquifer for the water supply for the town of Newburgh. What I'm going to turn over tonight is I'm going to turn over a copy of the zoning for your review, and I will tell you this, that there's also many other towns that have stepped up and volunteered, not by request, but because they heard the same things we did, and passed resolutions. I will also tell you that the town of Plattekill passed a resolution in 2021 denouncing and saying we do not want that Hertel landfill disturbed, touched, opened up, considered. We wanted it removed from the list, and we did that again in 23, resolution number 31. Also, I have in my possession the Quassaic Creek Watershed Alliance from Newburgh, which is an Orange County town, also forwarded a resolution to myself, and I'm going to submit that as well. I also attended the town of Newburgh board meeting, which is Orange County, and actually attended and watched them unanimously approve the resolution as well, and I greatly appreciate that. And looking through the resolution, I'm going to give you a copy of this for your review as well, but it goes on to talk about the Chadwick Lake Reservoir as a critical water supply for the municipalities it serves, okay, vital not only to the public health and safety, but also to the economic health of the area, providing water, residential, commercial customers, and so on. But I'm going to tell you this, that water supply in Chadwick Lake, that supplies a vast area that, unless you're familiar with the area, I encourage you to Google it and look at that area. It goes to the elementary school, okay, the elementary school, Lethendale Elementary, is actually on the Ulster County-Orange County border. It goes to the Walkill Central School District. It goes to East Coldingham, Valley Central. Valley Central is out in Montgomery. It goes to Meadow Hill Magnet School, Fostertown Elementary, Gardnertown Elementary, Bonneville Elementary, Newburgh and Large City School District, Plattekill, Limoges, and service areas. It covers a large, large area. And it goes on to talk about other avenues or other places that it actually touches. I will tell you that I intend to reach out to the Orange County legislative body and encourage them to pass a resolution very similar to the one that we're requesting here tonight, given the fact that it touches so many people down there. When I read the paper or watch the news, I saw, just as you folks saw, that they're looking forward or moving up the dates to discharge radioactive water into the Hudson River. I think we had a big discussion in the news a couple of years back about PCPs and are we going to dredge the Hudson? No, we're not going to dredge the Hudson. Yes, we are. No, we're not. If you dredge it, it's going to disturb. Folks, I don't want my grandchildren's grandchildren to have to come up here and make a trip and have all kinds of effects over the years because we neglected to do the right thing, what I feel is the right thing, pass the resolution and remove specifically those two properties off the list. I firmly believe that, and I say this all the time, and I just said it earlier, every journey starts with a single step. There's a single step in that journey, the journey starts, there's an anticipated conclusion, and this is the start of the journey. And rightfully so, I feel even more compelled to say this, no disrespect, but the previous speakers I heard, an RFP, that's another step in that journey. There's a conclusion at the end of the journey. The Folsom County Resource Recovery Agency spent $11,000 on a report that they said they tabled and they're not going to use or consider. I kind of feel like that was pushed aside so it didn't create a firestorm. And eventually it came out, and that's what the public meetings laws are and the FOIA laws. It's public information. I do understand it, and I respect the job that they have. I myself would not want to do that job. But again, in closing, I want to thank you guys for doing the people's work once again. And I would actually adamantly request that you guys seriously consider sending this on to the legislative body and encourage a vote to take those two specific sites, given the environmental impact that they stand to actually cause in the future, and remove those sites, and let's concern our efforts on something that makes more common sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. I think at this point I'd like to ask for discussion amongst the committee members. Pardon? Sorry. Any comments or concerns or suggestions about the resolution in front of us?
Chairman Green?
Yes.
Could I ask you things if you don't mind?
Yes, please.
I am the sponsor.
Do you have a mic or can you
close the volume? Thank you.
I feel much more comfortable sitting down back here. And when Chairman DePue or Councilman DePue says he can speak for 3 hours, he's not lying. I seen him in action last night at the town board meeting, which we had 4 consecutive town board meetings where it was, last night it was sparsely packed, but we had 3 consecutive town board meetings with 50 or so people in there speaking up against this. I'm going to start with the HydroQuest report, which started this whole thing. If anybody needs to look at it, I have a copy right here. I'm more than welcome to take a peek. At no point does it say this is a tentative study. It says landfill site selection study in Ulster County. That's pretty firm right there. You don't get much for 11 grand, and this is what they got for it, a bunch of pictures that look nice and stuff like that. And they picked out a couple of sites, probably from Google Earth. I think they overpaid on the 11 grand. I've been telling everybody that this report, I've been in county government, including on resource recovery, so I got started in this business back in 2004. I've seen a lot of reports. This is probably the worst I've ever seen. But again, like Councilman DePue says, it is a first step. It plants a seed. This report also was requested by New York State DEC and resubmitted from a November 9th, 2021 Environment Committee meeting. It says, Manna, can you hear me? Obviously, somebody knows you well, Manna. Okay, Manna, yes, I request. I have to back up. Last October, we had a meeting. The RRA met with New York Department of Environment Conservation, and Kelly Maduro advised the agency to hire a consultant to see if there's any place in Ulster County, 1,100 square miles, that could accommodate a landfill. And we did. We hired HydroQuest, and HydroQuest just recently came back with a report, and the report is not public at this time because we have to go back to Kelly. And for those who do not know Kelly, she's the executive director. So whatever happens in the three counties that take up Region 3 has to cross her desk. So DEC does have this report. They probably like laughed at it too. But the fact that when it did leak out to the press, and Resource Recovery, for whatever reason, did not provide us a copy of this, said it was unfoilable, which we all know that any government document is foilable, even though it's not made public or not. So we have a lot of distrust there. In closing, I just want to say I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people from that area. I talked to a widow, a consultant, who lost her husband to brain cancer from a chemical contamination spill. She has to relive this now. Other people have come up and telling me they're thinking about selling their houses. This is the anxiety this report has caused. We have generational families here that, five, six, seven, as Dean alluded to, that own parcels here near or on that's being, cited in this report. The anxiety they must feel every night going to bed, not knowing if a landfill is going to pop up across the street. We all know what's going to happen. This report, another report's going to come out, we're going to have to deal with that. I don't know if Platicville's going to be on the list or not, but it might be. But we have to ease the fear of these people now, and they shouldn't have to live with this. And the conversation might not be the right time, but it should start today. We're talking about Resource Recovery can't pay for this landfill. We're going to have to pay for it. They have no bonding capabilities over $500,000. We're talking about building a $34 million EOS center that we couldn't have it down in Platicville because it wasn't central, but we could put a landfill down there. We're also talking about affordable housing. I haven't seen numbers on that, but that's a priority of the majority party. And we're going to spend $40 million on a landfill. Maybe we should have the conversation about where it's going to be before we spend money on a report. Thank you all.
Okay, I would like to hear from the committee and get a sense of what we're thinking here.
With the Platicville stuff?
Yes.
First of all, it's not the first time members of the community have been told they can't foil something because it's a draft. That really is wrong, whether or not that's in state law or whatever. That should have been provided. The RRA needs to do better, I think, in the future with things like that. And I think if it was up to you, you would have just given it to them, to be honest with you. And I think the board, the lawyer, I think we need to have a conversation about that because it's not the first time this kind of stuff has happened. So there's definitely reason for me. If I was in Platicville, I'd be concerned about the same thing. I wouldn't want to take, I'm very skeptical, especially of government, especially of Ulster County government. And I don't blame the people of Platicville for being very skeptical and wanting just to end this conversation once and for all. A lot of what Kevin just said, I totally understand and agree with quite a bit of it. We just bought a 60-acre brownfield that we're going to go down and mess around with, and we need to hear about the same kinds of things over in that area with cancers that are, not naturally occurring, and I think we need to be a little more cognizant of these things. Sounds to me like Platicville would probably be a dead deal with regards to all the things you guys are pointing out, all the different waterways, that's something that's, I think, would eventually come out after the earthquake. I mean, those kinds of things are going to eliminate a lot of areas in the county.
like you said, what we might find out that almost nowhere in this huge county is actually, but we have a lot of water. There's going to be a lot of those issues. The only thing I will say is, and I'm speaking as somebody from Saugerties who had two town board members a couple of years ago write a letter to the editor saying, do not even think about a landfill at Saugerties, because years ago that was, I believe it was Winston Farms, was a location identified, and we went crazy. So I'm with you. But I have been convinced by Tracy and Manna that we probably do need to explore spotting a landfill at some point, and the technology, when you look at, when I heard from her, the technology is much different than it ever was before. That being said, nobody wants it in their town. But we may, and I think maybe you find a town that would eventually come around, but if we go down this road and we start allowing towns, if we start passing resolutions, there's going to be a domino effect. And it'll end, essentially end the conversation before it ever started, and before we get to a chance to see if there is a town or two that would be willing to have the conversation, especially with what you, with what you end up getting as far as basically paying the taxes. And there's just nowhere to take this up. I've been on the record saying, I don't even want to have a conversation. I guess we have to have a conversation because it's going to take 100 years to do it. But I don't want to have a conversation until we cut back the amount of solid waste we're producing by, like, you know, 50, 60, 70%, because the rates we're going, even though you can tell me how great it is, I think we run out of our landfill sooner than we'd like to if we don't get off the trend line we're on. And we haven't done a real job with coming up with real significant ways to cut down the amount of solid waste we're producing. And I think there's two ways you do it, by diverting, obviously education is part of it, but by diverting. And I think the tipping fee has to be a big part of that. But if we pass this by the end of this year, we will pass, you can count them up there, we'll pass that number of these things and essentially end the conversation. I honestly do not completely understand. I don't think we ever spotted a landfill in Platte Hill. I think it's obvious both that Platte Hill is not a place for it for a lot of different reasons, and your community is going to organize, and even if it was a place, which I don't believe it is, would never agree to it. But if we do pass this, like I said, we're going down, there's going to be a domino effect, and me and Aaron will be putting one up for Saugerties, and away we go, and this conversation that does need to happen goes away. So I don't know if I'm going to support this tonight, but I'm in complete support of not putting a landfill in Platte Hill, in complete support of making sure this situation doesn't ever happen. I don't even know what that, and I know it's not you, Mike, because you weren't there, but I don't even know what the hell they're doing with that report. It seems like a ridiculous, cheap little report that came back with some odd findings. You know, I know obviously whoever put that out, that RFP was not very good. Did they even go out to RFP? It was only 11th grade, I don't know. Did they just pick this group? It was odd, and totally unacceptable that you guys didn't get the draft to begin with. But that's where I'm at on it.
I want to say we have a hard stop at 5, and we have a lot of other resolutions to get through, but I really do want to hear what the committee is thinking, I just want to give that time warning. And it's by the hand of Legislator Stewart, please.
Yes, I was just going to say that I sort of echo a lot of what my colleague, Legislator Maloney, just said, in that I will not be supporting this resolution because I feel it sets a terrible precedent, and we will, and exactly as Joe just said, we will receive 23 resolutions from around the county saying, no, there will be no landfill sited in our town. And so that, you know, that puts the county in a terrible position, and I think it's kind of irresponsible for us to go down that road. That said, I personally don't think that this site sounds like, you know, a great place to site such a thing. And I will tell you that I'm a huge kayaker, and I know and love the Black Creek. It's one of the
best kayaking sites in the entire county. So I realize there are some serious environmental questions with this particular site, but I will not be supporting the resolution for the reasons just stated, that it basically cuts off the conversation before it can be had. And in addition to that, before we ever have a serious discussion about a landfill anywhere in Ulster County, it takes, as has been discussed, years of advance, you know, education and outreach in order to do that. And, you know, the county would have to really go to great lengths to offer very generous incentives to whatever community that would eventually be placed in. And so, and obviously none of that has happened so far. And so I think we're voting on something that is just not reality. So that's why I will not be supporting this resolution.
Next.
Please. The echo. Yeah, so I share a lot of the same sentiments that were already spoken, but I also appreciate hearing the stories both from our colleague and from the public as it relates to members of the public and the constituency of Project Hill's concerns specifically, and particularly as it relates, I know there are two sites that we're talking about in Planet Hill, but particularly as it relates to the Hertz Hill site and the history of what residents in proximity to that site have gone through historically, multi-generational residents. I'm very concerned about the precedent. What I want to have a conversation about, and I spoke with Councilman Depew over the last week, and I look forward to coming to see the sites with you anyways, even though they're not, we're all acknowledging they're not on any table, because the RA is saying they're not on the table, and they're, we're not, the legislature's not engaged right now in siting a landfill, nor is it our, it's not our authority to site a landfill. It's the RRA's, the RRA's charge through the local solid waste management plan, and they've said that this is not a study that they're looking at. So even though it's not on the table, I do want to come see the site because I live nearby and I want to understand what we're even talking about. But I think what's most important is that we find a way to do two things. One, to build trust with the communities, not of the entire county, meaning we find a way to get starting probably with the Supervisors Association, to get the supervisors and mayors to the table to engage in this discussion as well. And two, to dig into really how we actually solve this. Because this is something that I've been concerned about since I first became a legislator. And what's clear to me is that, and also, as I mentioned earlier, charting the parallel paths of Ulster County and Oneida Herkimer, the two counties that cited their landfill in Ava, it takes incredible political courage to even talk about this, because the minute you say landfill, everyone says, and I don't mean to be dismissive, everyone says not in my backyard, and I get that, but the problem is when we don't take responsibility for our own waste, when we just pay to take it as far away as possible, right now that's been manageable to a degree, even though it's hundreds of miles away, it comes at a fiscal and a environmental cost. We actually aren't vested in doing the things that Legislator Maloney talked about. We're not vested in reducing and diverting in the same way that we would be if we contained our own self-reliance. We also aren't protected. You know, we see what's happened with uncertainty in all kinds of things in the environment, the financial and otherwise environmental environment right now. And we don't know, we could face a point where we have nowhere to go with our waste. So I'm very much looking forward to engaging, and again, I think it's probably starting with the RA and the supervisors, engaging a conversation on how we all take our guard down for a moment and try to determine how we solve this problem. Because reactionary, and again, I appreciate where Quantico is coming from, but this type of reaction is just never going to get us where we want to go. I've been here for 16 years, for 4 years off, so that's 20 years, and I've seen the conversation, any kind of comes up, the resolutions start, it's back 2001, and it was before that, and it's like no landfill, but it also comes with, but we understand we need a landfill, but no landfill, and I just don't know how we're going to get to the bottom of it. But I do know we're not going to solve it by, which is what I want Platico to understand, that I understand, we're not going to solve it by telling any community this is where we are putting a landfill. That was tried already. That was the Saugerties debacle long before I lived here. That is not going to work. I think everybody understands it is never going to work for us to say, or the RRA to say, this is where it's going. So we have to collectively get together. And I'm sorry it's so long-winded. It's something I'm very passionate about. I really appreciate the concerns of you all who took your time to come here. And I know there are, for each one of you sitting here, there's hundreds more at home. I know that. I live right nearby. I live in Gardner. I live in where the third site is. But we can't start a precedent of opposing landfills in whole towns because it won't even take 3 months and and not to mention, just so everyone understands, this is a memorializing resolution. It might make everyone feel better, but it's not actually binding. It actually doesn't do very much. So we gotta actually do something. That's what I'm saying. We have to do something. And we have to engage you all in that conversation.
Trace, I have one quick question. In theory, can the RRA or the county spot a landfill in a town without the vote of the board in that town?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think it would involve a lot of things. It would involve owning the property. It would involve, you know, all the clearance of that.
If you could, that'd be an interesting compromise, having a resolution that states the county and the RRA will not, we have to look into how we do that, will not spot a landfill without a vote of the board of support.
Or, if I may, or some type of public
referendum. Yeah. One of the two. That would be a compromise, and then you just gotta, every time somebody runs for town board supervisor, make sure the people run it, and that's one way to handle it.
Can I add a thought? I mean, just to understand the depth of and the complexity of this, and my understanding in terms of the issue with Seneca Meadows, there was a vote by the Seneca Meadows board not to increase the capacity of Seneca Meadows. That's where the 2025 discussion happened. And I don't know, but what I heard is that the company that owns Seneca Meadows spent a tremendous amount of money on the local elections, and that board completely flipped, and that board now is voting differently. There's the same level of pressure up there. That's the largest landfill in New York State. It's 1,000 acres, I think. It's something 400 acres of active landfill, and residents up there spoke, but then money spoke louder in terms of the messaging. So I really am for a very inclusive process, and it's going to take years. It's going to take years to get through the process, which is why I'm most concerned with what the scope of this study says, because I think when you commission a study that's just taking GIS data, and that's why I told the previous story, that's just taking GIS data to determine where to site a landfill, it's going to keep getting the same result, which is a bunch of sites that haven't considered everything and may have, for a million reasons, not be appropriate. So I'm not saying I have the answer. There's got to be smarter minds than mine on this subject that can figure out how we begin it. But we've got to do it because the clock is ticking, and I don't 15 years from now want to be saying I told you so to anybody. But for 16 years I've been raising an alarm, which really goes back 20 years. And 20 years ago it was just, you know, me and maybe one other person, and then man, I got in the legislature. It's like, it was very hard to say anything about landfill. And every time I brought it up, people said, well, then put it in Gardner. Every time. And I said, everything's on the table. even though that's the town I live in. Because it's like, that's what we have to do. We got to get everyone to the table. But the last thing I want to say, and again, I'm saying it to the citizens really who are here, is that everything I've heard about these two sites makes it seem like these sites would, in a further siting selection, would be taken off the table. Like, if what you're saying is accurate, if it is the headwaters of all these, and if it, and we know it's an EPA Superfund site, it's very likely that if they made another cut, those sites would be taken off the table. So, it's just, I can't start a landslide of every town coming and saying no, because we have to find a way to get to a yes together. And it's going to be a consensual yes. It's not going to be a, you got it, and sorry, but it's coming, yes.
Yes.
And I don't want to believe it, but I know it's getting late, and so I agree with almost everything that my colleagues have said on this topic so far. I agree that everything that's been reported and was stated by the members of the public before us, this information, if it's vetted and going forward in a further study, would probably take these locations off the table. I don't think that they're suitable for a landfill here in the county. And I agree with everything that Tracy said in regards to it's got to be, we have to go forward in a collaborative effort. We can't be doing things cloak and dagger behind closed doors. It has to be all transparent with members of the public, the Supervisors Association, and the RRA working together on this. And I'm gonna put my plant my flag on this right now, that I think that the best way going forward on solving this enigma wrapped in, a riddle wrapped in enigma of figuring this out, is a collaborative approach in the regional, with the regional counties of Green, Ulster, Sullivan, as we did in the past. But I really think that this is going to be something that this is the best way to solve this problem of going forward regionally, and looking at, maybe Ulster County isn't the place that we're going to find a suitable location in Ulster. I mean, I don't think geologically, Denning, Hardenburg, we have mountainous areas, we have places that are right on the river, we have watersheds, creeks, we have a very unique hydraulic and geologic situation in the county that other places maybe don't have those same issues. So, in places like Green or Sullivan. So I really think that we need to look at this in a more regional approach than just trying to go it alone here in Ulster County. And that's the way I think we're going to solve it. So that's my two cents on the issue.
We could go on and on and on all night. So I am just going to simply say thank you to Legislator Roberts and to our speakers, and as one of the sponsors of this resolution, and on behalf of my constituents, I support this resolution.
Thank you. My perspective is that this is an environmental justice issue, that this community has already had the Hertel landfill, and that isn't just an ordinary landfill, it's an extremely polluted brownfield site. But as strongly as I feel that this should not be a countywide landfill should not be sited in Plattekill, I do share the chairwoman's concern, chair's concern, pronouns count, that, and others, that we don't want to trigger a whole lot of resolution saying from various towns saying it shouldn't be here. There have already been letters to the RRA, and we do have a responsibility. We, in 30 to 20 years ago, we took our recycling rate from 4% to 40%, and I agree with Legislator Maloney, now's the time to take it from 40 to 80% in the next decade, and I know that's challenging, but I think it's achievable, and I think there are examples where that has been done. So I would just like to get a sense of the committee. Do you want to act
Do you want to call for a vote? Do you want to take no action? Do you want to postpone? We have options, and I don't want to decide for the committee. I think the community can hear that if there was a potential at the a proposal at either of the Plattekill sites, I think you've got six no votes. That's a presumption on my part, but from what I just heard. On the other hand, there is a concern about this triggering 21 other resolutions and sort of tying our hands. So do we want to call the question? Do we want to take no action?
Gina, if it's your resolution, do you want to call the question? Would you like to keep it on the in the committee for another month or two? And
at which time we could
ask a question
get,
before you
vote. Yes, please. Can you come to the mic? Because my hearing was...
Okay. Thank you once again for giving me the opportunity. I'd like to speak as the Deputy Supervisor of the Town of Plattekill, and I appreciate your time. I do, and I don't take lightly that, you know, this is going to start a firestorm of resolutions, rightfully so. If they're justified, then by all means, bring them on. That is the consequence of making decisions and doing public service. We don't always have the opportunity of black and white decisions. We have a lot of gray areas. We have a lot of areas that sometimes we have to change, modify, alter, or what have you to make things work and make them possible. One of the things that I neglected to say, not that it makes a lot of difference, but it does as well. In my mind, it does. I also gave you a sampling of petitions that have been signed by the locals. The people from the community, not only that live by that, but encompass the entire town of Plattekill, and there's upwards of 900 plus, and there's several other petitions that are going around. Honestly, to fear a firestorm of resolutions coming in, that is what you guys took an affirmation for this job. You raised your hand, you said that you would support. You said that you would support the Constitution of the United States of America, the Constitution of Ulster County, and do the due diligence, the work of the people. And my question is, those two specific pieces of property, those two parcels of property, or those two parcels that combined would make up the Hertel landfill site and what they call the Camp Sunset site, those two specifically, once again, before you vote, I ask you to give serious consideration to those two specific sites. If it has to be rewritten, altered, modified, those two sites in particular, specifically, I would like to ask to be removed. Because I'm going to tell you this, the firestorm has started. You will be receiving many more resolutions. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I know that there's a lot of communities right now that it's in the pipes, they're working on them, and I will tell you that I just alluded to several communities from outside of Ulster County that are Orange County. I still fully intend, regardless of what the decisions are made here, I still fully intend to go and ask for their support as well, and hopefully do some investigative work on the adverse effects and how it affects those communities. Again, I don't want my grandchildren sitting here. I don't know if it's 1 year, 5 years, 12 years. Those two specific sites, I request to be removed from consideration either now, presently, or in the future to be removed, given the fact that one is still designated as a Superfund site that's regulated by the EPA. I also know that our next town board meeting, I believe, is the 19th. We're going to have Amanda LaValle, the deputy director of Ulster County, come down. And she's going to speak to us on putting in possibly a solar farm onto the Hertel land site. So that's an albatross hanging around the neck of the Ulster County legislature. The Hertel landfill, it's the gift that keeps on giving. So how we move forward, I think is very, it's a very serious consideration. And I do still feel like those two specific sites should be removed given their locations. Thank you. And I will say before I go, any questions, please reach out to us.
I just want to be clear, many of us voted for the solar on the Hertel land.
Oh, I know that. I do know that.
As a very appropriate use of that open space. And I just wonder if, I wasn't clear if you have a concern about the solar.
100%. 100%. We do have concerns about the solar. And that's why I think it's important for Amanda to give her time to come down and speak to us. I'm going to tell you, I said this at the meeting 2 weeks ago, I felt that it was very disrespectful, not only as a community member, but as a board member, sitting in a position that I am supposed to be available to have any kind of information that's going on in our community, especially by another government or government backed agency, that I had to find out this information on social media and through a newspaper article that the Hydro Press report was done. I've seen many, many documents. I've seen many, many different things written down, statements made by previous members of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency about keeping the report away from the public. I have heard many second, third hand conversations, which I don't take those to heart, only because I am a papers guy. I need to see it, something in writing that memorializes something. And for somebody to say, it's not going to happen, we have 3 years, we have 5 years, we have 15 years, it takes forever. The journey has already begun. There's definitely a need to have a landfill. I would be absolutely, totally false to myself to believe that we don't need to take this situation seriously. We need to have a place to put our garbage. We need to do that. You know, in the best case scenario, you know, man makes plans, God laughs. You know, we can say, yes, let's move it from 40% to 80%, and that's great. But guess what? That doesn't always happen. You know, we talk about environmental issues, we talk about cleaning up the environment, and I got to tell you, almost every entrance and exit to any major city in New York State, it's a trash pile outside of the communities that you're driving in. And I scratch my head and say, this is crazy. You know, all the landfills that are in existence right now, there's issues with them.
I'm going to have to cut you off because we have a hard deadline.
Thank you very much.
But thank you. Yeah. Okay. And now I'm... Go ahead.
I'd like to make an amendment to this resolution to include just these two specific sites.
So take away the town and put in those specific sites?
Yes.
Or put them in there, these two sites outside the town of Lotta?
Yes. Is there a second?
I'll make the second.
Okay.
Discussion.
We will, go ahead. I feel sort of quite unfortunate because for time, Christina's pointing out what the next meeting starts. What can you be specific? Are you getting rid of, you're saying get rid of the third resolve?
Should we postpone a month and stuff it and then
Madam Chair, you are correct. Get rid of the third resolve where it says a landfill in the town of Lotta Hill and just say site I and site H. Or H and I should say.
You know, if we're gonna go down that road, there should probably be some more whereas to why specifically, which those things we heard today that we could add in to why those two specific spots as well. I know I did second it, I'm fine with that second, but I think if we're gonna get specific about that. And by the way, I'd like to say that I put on the record with how I feel, and ultimately that it's not about Firestorm. My middle name is Firestorm. I don't care about that. But it's about equity to the other towns. And if we do it for one, we're going to do it for the rest, and we're going to kill the conversation
It's not about, and even though I'm ultimately probably a no as it sits here for that reason, I'm okay with it going to the floor. Plattekill was the town that got, if it was Saugerties, I'd want to give my residents the right to speak with the cameras rolling, with people really paying attention to have this conversation. It was their town mentioned in the study that they weren't given. It seems, the whole thing seems weird and unfair to Plattekill. So I probably know at the floor, but I would be a yes to get it to the floor and let them have their day with everyone watching to talk about this. And let the rest of the body vote on it as well. I think this is, the way it sits now, I don't think there's anything wrong with it legally. It's ready to go, just because sometimes just because you disagree with something doesn't mean you shouldn't vote it on to the entire body to be able to opine on and vote on. But if we are going to start getting more specific with it, which may even give it a better chance to pass the entire legislature, or even if you have to do a petition of discharge, we probably should have some whereases in there with a bunch of facts about the property and why it wouldn't be, and that might be something other communities, I'd be okay with other communities saying, then identifying specific plots of land and then putting specifics in. Once again, this RFP that's going out will eventually give us the parameters to what these properties would actually have to look like, and most of these properties would end up being out of that, those parameters.
I see the chair's hand is raised, and the sponsor would also like to speak. We have a half a dozen other resolutions and a hard stop. I wonder if it just makes sense not to take action, get the, it's not wise to make amendments on the rush under pressure. So I hate to drag this out, but yeah.
Matt, I'd be willing to postpone for 1 month only if we can get some serious consideration into getting this passed next month, at least to the floor.
Thank you. I need a motion to postpone.
Okay. Oh. So moved. Second.
What's
that?
You have the motion.
You have to vote on the postpone. I was asking for a motion.
Motion was made by legislator. Yes, I made the motion.
And do I hear a second?
Legislator
Mommy. Okay, thank you. All in favor of postponing?
Aye.
For 1 month.
And 1 month.
1 month.
1 month. And I'm sorry to not give you an answer tonight, but we really do have other things that we have to do. And you have your support.
That's presented again.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And we always take public comment on our session.
I was just going to say I very much appreciate the opportunity for the public to come and speak their mind on this, because I thought it was very informative on giving us the information that's going to be needed to make an informed decision on this. So, and we very much appreciate local input on this. So I'm very appreciative. I don't discount it whatsoever. Thank you.
I would also like to extend the invitation to the committee to come on in, and I would be more than happy to show you those sites in the area.
I'll
arrange
that too.
Yeah.
I would
take
that. I'm sorry, so we're going to arrange a tour of the site in question.
Yes.
King is
going to. I'm going
to
arrange a tour.
Okay.
Can you share your document?
And at this point, I'd like to quickly, and we may be able to block, go through the rest of the resolutions so that we can honor our time commitment.
Or do we just want to schedule something before?
I would like to suggest that we take no action on resolution number 5 as requested by the sponsor. Resolution number 79, urging New York State to approve and implement an opt-out community distributed generation CDG program in New York. We had a presentation on that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we.
I'll move it for.
So this is.
I'll move for discussion.
All right. And second.
I'll second.
Okay. And I would usually try to explain what it is, but right now, with time, I'm just gonna call the vote on resolution.
Hold on. So this allows, this allows towns to, or just the county, we're going to opt into a... Isn't it towns that do these agreements? So we're giving towns the right, and we have that ability to give them the right to do this. But, you know, my town had a bad experience with one of these.
Yes.
So I don't know if I like this.
And I had a question about how this differs from community choice aggregation.
I want to remind you that this is setting a public hearing. We can get more answers to questions.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Am I reading the wrong?
79.
Yes. Okay, we skipped. Okay. The people... If we still have questions, I'm going to suggest we take some action.
We would just want to get this done before the end of the legislative session. So,
if we still have questions, I'm going to suggest that we take no action. Unless people are ready to vote on and still get their questions answered. If you're ready to vote on resolution number 79, please indicate.
So, allowing community distributed generation to be integrated community choice aggregation in on an opt-out basis, opt-out rather than opt-in. I mean, my understanding is our executive is something in the law enforcement.
I probably spend more time working on energy issues than most people in the room, and I find this confusing. And we had at least one presentation, if not two. From what I understand, I support it, but I'm not going to take the responsibility to answer questions.
I think we want to take no action.
I guess just leave that and I'll try to adjourn.
Is there some time issue that we need to be aware of before we vote to delay this?
Not that I know of.
I don't know if there's a time sensitivity. I can tell you that I'm definitely supportive.
You
would? I'm supportive of
it. In general, I am supportive of programs that are opt out related to energy.
Let's just put your hands up absolutely to go to another meeting. And
I see no issue with postponing, with taking no action on this and taking it up at our next meeting.
Yes, okay. We will take no action on resolution number 79, and most of the others are appointments, so I think, is it okay to block the appointments to the Environmental Management Council?
I'm in favor of blocking the appointments to the Environmental
That's a motion. A second?
Second.
On the motion to block, all in favor?
Aye.
On the block. And that is appointments. Resolution number 146, 147, 148, appointments to the Environmental Management Council. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 149, appointing member to the Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council.
Motion.
Second.
Motion is second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And we have decided to take no action on 200 and 201. And I think at this point we'll table old business and new business. And I want to thank everyone for coming. Pardon?
No, we postponed 201.
Oh, we postponed 201?
Well, we actually, we didn't actually make it.
201. Resolution 201, opposing the discharge. Oh, I think I was going to ask legislator Hanson to handle this. Chair Bartel, I probably shouldn't, if you would be so kind.
So, is there a motion to consider?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Please read the resolution.
The resolution number 201, opposing the discharge of contaminated water from Indian Point to the Hudson River and supporting New York State Senate Bill S-5181 and Assembly Bill A-5338, amending the Environmental Conservation Law to prohibit the discharge of any radiological agent in New York State waters. Any discussion?
This just seems like a no-brainer that we should oppose that.
Opposed to the dumping.
Opposed to the dumping. Yes.
On the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm going to abstain, just for supporting
the
error inside of question.
The meeting's back to you.
So at this point, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you. All right. And we will free up the room for the next meeting.
Aye. Aye on the motion.
All in favor of adjournment. Thank you very much.
Aye on the motion to adjourn.
And we'll turn it over to the next committee.
Thank you.
I can't right now because I have a next meeting.
We got your handout.
I'm gonna be in on the library.
Okay. Yeah, well, hopefully, I think it's we can have this brought up in our next meeting, I think. So hopefully, we're not he was asking a question regarding what the next steps might be. Does he got pricked out of this?
Looking for a sponsor.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's looking for a sponsor. Well, what about Chris? Chris,
you guys done?
Yes, we are.
Do we have to sign those? Or the appointments? Okay. I'll catch her.
Yeah. Okay.
Send by email.
Yeah.